mine from high school who this week, just like on Friday, I just heard about this. She found out she has stage 2 cancer in her breast cancer. 37-year-old, just like me. Cancer. 3 small kids, beautiful kids. I mean, how do you deal with that this Christmas season? I couldn't even imagine. There's 28 families in Connecticut. 28 families who never imagined how lousy Christmas would be this year. And yet their families were ripped apart by tragedy a week ago. And out there, you know, thousands of people who won't be celebrating Christmas like we will be, right? Because they have no homes to celebrate in. No families to celebrate with. I mean, even in this room, in this building, I'm sure there are people here hurting this Christmas, dreading this season. But then there are many of us in here who are like on this other side of the spectrum. It's like, oh man, we have turkey tonight. I can't wait. Presents. Love it. Love it. We got family dinners to go to. There's so many things happening this holiday. We have days off. There's no school. There's no work. We're catching up on video games. We got ski trips. We got winter conference. We got Boxing Day shopping. We have all these lists of items we want to buy on Boxing Day. Everything is good. Everything's awesome. We keep saying Jesus is the reason for the season, right? But there's so many things. There's so many things around the season that distract us. That's really easy to put Jesus on the bench. Where does Jesus fit in all of this? Where does Jesus fit in all of this? I mean, how is Jesus more than just a feel-good story? When we sang the song earlier, talking about the shepherds and the wise men and the stable and all the animals giving praise, but are we? How is he more than just a feel-good story? I mean, how is he hope for the guy who can't celebrate and then reason for those who can celebrate to celebrate? Do you know what I'm saying? How does he change everything by coming here? I mean, last week we went through the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and who, as we all know, as many of you will know, they are the parents of John the Baptist. But what God did in their life was that they had a lifetime of infertility. They couldn't have kids. But then God blessed them with John the Baptist, their son, who would change the world forever in his own right. So what God did in that situation is that he changed mourning, he changed sorrow, he changed suffering into celebration, into worship. And at the end of it, Zechariah, the father, he has this beautiful and brilliant song of worship to God, giving him thanks for all his blessings and the blessing on his people Israel. Right? But this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about something that theologians call the incarnation, and which literally means to take on flesh. And when we talk about incarnation, we're talking about how God himself took on flesh and became human. All right. So what does that mean for us, though? What does this mean for us? What are the implications of Jesus coming into our world? How is this important, and how is this central to who we are? Well, let's pray. I'm going to read the scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get going here. So if you turn with me to John 1, we're going to be focusing on mostly the last part of it, but I'm going to read sort of starting from verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word and when the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will, nor of flesh, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Not just ink on a page, Lord. But we know, Lord, according to John, that you, Jesus, was the Word, is the Word. The Word is God. And we thank you that you shine a light into the dark places of our world. That in you is life. And I pray, God, that as we hear your word this morning, God, that you would be here. Holy Spirit, would you reach into our hearts, moving in us, teaching us, Lord. God, may you be pleased, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, first thing that John establishes here is that Jesus is God, right? Verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So when we're talking about the Word here, the original language of this passage, of this book, was in Greek. And so there's this Greek word called logos, which is translated into word. Okay? So this requires a little bit of explanation. So if you were a Greek guy, or if you grew up in Greek culture at that time, for the Greek readers of this gospel, what they would understand, they would hear the word logos, and they would say, oh yeah, that's the philosophy of this school of philosophy called Stoicism. The Stoics, where we get the word Stoic from, right? Stoicism, it's based a lot in rationality. So if I'm a Stoic person, right? Nowadays, we would understand that as, I don't show much emotion. I don't get too high, I don't get too low. I'm just even keel. I'm Stoic. No smiling. This is Stoic right here. Stoic. All right? That's Stoic. So if you were a Stoic philosopher, you would say, you know what? Emotions, we don't want to let emotions get in the way of rationality. So we're going to be Stoic. We're going to have control over emotions. Okay? That's Stoicism. So if I'm talking about logos here, for a Stoic person, for a Stoic philosopher, what they would say is that the logos, that's kind of everything, that's what holds everything together. That's what allows me to stand here before you as a rational person, communicating with you. It holds the universe together, the logos, right? Kind of like the Force in Star Wars, all right? Holds everything together, makes everything run, okay? That's the logos in Greek philosophy. It's how everything works. It tells us, it helps us to understand how everything's put together, how we function in relationship with the rest of the universe, okay? But more importantly, that we can think about it, we can rationalize it, okay? I can make sense of it by you just using my mind, right? Okay, so when John says that Jesus is the Logos, so Christians or Greek people who understand Stoic philosophy would say, oh yeah, yeah. So if Jesus is the Logos, then it's Jesus that holds everything together, that holds the universe together. And it's Jesus through how we can make sense of the world and our place in it. Okay? So that's one sort of side to it. If you're a Jewish guy reading this, you'll read the word Logos and you'll be like, oh, I get what you're trying to say, buddy. Just like when it says in the Old Testament or in the Torah, just like how God says he created everything with the word, with a logos, just like how God speaks logos or words to people like prophets like Isaiah or Moses, and things happen out of that, that's what logos means, okay? So let's look at the Old Testament a little bit. Psalm 107, for example. Psalm 107, it says, he sent out his word, his logos, and healed them and delivered them. And what about Isaiah 55:11? It says, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth, it shall accomplish what I purpose. So the logos is how God gets things done in Jewish culture. God speaks, and things happen. I mean, that's kind of like the trend in the Old Testament. God speaks, things happen. All right? God speaks, all of a sudden the world's created. God speaks, all of a sudden the seas are made, the oceans are formed, mountains are folded together. It's the word that's powerful here. So the Jewish guy will read this and say, I get it. God's word is Jesus. God's word is Jesus. So you have these perspectives here. Jesus as the Logos who holds everything together, right? Like the Greeks would understand it, and how everything makes sense. And then you have Jesus as God's Logos, kind of spewing forth from his lips, right? To bring healing and deliverance to his people and to accomplish his purposes in creation. But then John takes it one step further here. He says that the Word was God. He says that Logos was God. In other words, Jesus, who is God, is how we make sense of the world. I mean, it's Jesus who is sent forth from the Father to accomplish his purposes in the world. It is Jesus who is spoken forth to bring healing and deliverance in this world. Okay? And then it says this in verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. See, now it's going to make sense now. Because the Logos is no longer this kind of weird philosophy, this really cerebral thing, or some figment in the mind of some rational philosopher person, right? Jesus is the Logos. He makes sense of everything. So the Logos isn't just God's word being spoken and it's going to happen. It's not just a concept or a story that we read about or hear about through the rabbis. It's right there in the flesh. Jesus is the Logos. And if we were to make sense of the world and make sense of what God is doing in the world, it's all there. It's right there in front of us. Let me illustrate this for you for a second. I was going to bring my... Okay, I got my iPhone here. Let me grab that. R2-D2 case cover. I got my iPhone here. And basically, 15 years ago, I had a Discman, a Sony Discman, right? You guys remember those things? It's a portable compact disc player. Okay, I have this. It's like you know, about this big, right? Like you carry that around with you. You can't really put it in your pocket, but you got to carry it around with you like this. So you have that. Then you have. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have cell phone, and even though they might have had texting back then, but I wouldn't know, but I think it cost like $2 a text or something like that back then, 15 years ago. So no one did it, right? I couldn't afford a camera. I was a student. I couldn't afford a camera, so I ended up just using like Fujifilm disposable cameras all the time that cost like $6.99. I had a computer, and it was this massive beige box, right? With like a 14-inch monitor that weighed 50 pounds. Like, we didn't have flat screens back then. So you had your music device. Your music device was for listening to music. You had your telephone was for calling people. Your phone was for taking pictures. Your camera was for taking pictures, not your phone. Your camera was for taking pictures. You had a separate video camera for taking video images. You had a computer that was for computer stuff. Right? Never in my wildest dreams would all of that be put in this. Never in my wildest dreams would all of those things right in the palm of my hand. Okay? All right? Maybe back then you and your buddies would be like, me and my buddies would be like, oh yeah, it'd be cool to have like a watch that you can like video call people and stuff. But like this thing took it way beyond this. All right? Right? And then you get this in your hand. You get this in your hand, and all of a sudden it just makes sense. All these dreams of people having these things put in one compact item, it just makes sense. It just makes sense now. I can just hold it in my hand. If I want to take a photo, I just flip to camera mode. If I want to take video, I switch that to video. If I want to listen to music, I just plug in my earphones. And listen to music. If I want to make a call, just dial it out. I can even tell it to make a call. I don't have to press any buttons. It's all there. See, when the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, all of a sudden it made sense to everyone what they've been talking about. It made perfect sense. We may not understand being a spiritual being too well as we understand God to be. We may not get that. But if it looks like us, if you see it there, Jesus in the flesh, we understand it completely. It goes from being a concept to being a reality because it's, I mean, because this is what it really said, right? I mean, the Logos, it's a cool idea. It's a cool philosophy. I read about the Logos. I've heard stories from the rabbi about the Logos. But here it is in the flesh. I can see it right in front of me. I understand it now. I see what he's doing. If I see what he's doing, I see what God is doing. Right in front of me. It went from being, wouldn't it be cool if, to, God, you're right here in the flesh. I can see you. This is a huge deal. This is a huge, massive deal. Because when God goes from spirit to flesh, what he's doing is he's revealing to us everything that he wants us to discover about himself. So everything he wants us to know and understand about himself, he just lays it out there for us to see. So if you ever think that God is unknowable, if we ever had that thought that I can never understand God, I can't know him, it's impossible to know him. He hasn't given us much to go on other than this book. If we think that, well, we probably never really got to know Jesus very well. You know what I'm saying? Well, maybe some of you are thinking, we still can't see him. I mean, he died 2,000 years ago. All we're doing is reading about him. We just hear about him. We don't actually see him for ourselves. Here's the thing. Not only did he become flesh, it says he dwelt amongst us. He made his home here. He was in the neighborhood. Not only did God become man, he lived amongst us, he ate amongst us, laughed with us. 2,000 years later, this is just as important. Because even though we can't physically see Jesus in the flesh here today, as I would see you, as I would look upon Phil and see Phil in the flesh, everything that God wanted to reveal to us about himself was through Jesus. And it's well documented in this book. And if we believe that this book is the Word of God, we will experience and see Jesus for ourselves firsthand. In the four Gospels are four unique perspectives about the life of Jesus, what he did, what he said. And so if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know, you look at what Jesus is like. If you want to know what God feels about flawed and broken and hurting people just like us, you look at what Jesus says about them and how he treats them. If you want to know what makes God angry or sad or happy, you look at what makes Jesus angry or sad or happy. But here's another thing about this. God not only reveals who he is so that we know him in the incarnation. More specifically, he reveals the depth of his incredible love for us. In Jesus, God came down to us. I mean, he pursues us. He loves us. Have you ever seen this? There's this movie called Hitch a few years back, starring Will Smith as a guy named Hitch, who is a professional. So what he does is guys who, let's just say, aren't popular with the ladies, they would hire him to help him to get dates and to treat women well and stuff like that. And so there's this guy, there's this character played by Kevin James, who's kind of like a softer, pudgier kind of gentleman, who's kind of lacking in the social graces. And so Will Smith is coaching this guy. He's like a dating coach. He's coaching this guy on how to make the first move to kiss a girl. Okay, so this is what Will Smith does. He says, you lean in 90%, and you hope that the girl comes in 10%. You know what I'm saying? So you lean in, you pucker your lips, you lean in, and then you're hoping the girl responds with the 10%. So there's a guy and a girl. All right? Does that make sense? Jesus is coming to 90% for you. He loves you. In fact, it's not even 90%. He's calling all in for you. He's going 100%. And all he's asking you to do, he's reaching out his hand. All he's asking us to do is to grab his hand. Allow him to carry you, to walk you through the dark places of life. If you're happy, he wants to be there. If you're celebrating, he wants to be there. If you're hurting, if you're broken, if you're sad, if you're crying, he wants to be there. God loves you. That is why he came. That is why he came. And that is why we celebrate Christmas. It says in John that no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, Jesus. He has made him known. So the birth of Jesus Christ means that in him we have the clearest idea of who God is. We have the clearest idea of who God is. Jesus is God represented, so we can understand him, who he is. And in Jesus Christ, God finally makes sense. And if God makes sense, then our world makes sense, right? And if our world makes sense, our place in it makes sense. Do you know this Jesus? Now, I'm not necessarily asking if you're a Christian or not. Well, what I'm asking is, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know what the Bible says about him? Do you know what he says in the Bible? I mean, how he reacts to things, how he feels about stuff. Because if you ever question God, maybe we need to question our knowledge of him. Because he's everything he's revealed to us in Jesus. God's saying, that's enough for you to know, for you to know me. Am I reading the Gospels? Am I studying it? Am I understanding it? And on top of that, am I letting this word, this logos, this Jesus, captivate my heart? I mean, do we know him enough so that when we sing with the angels, the herald angels, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, glory to the newborn king. That when we sing these songs, that it rises out of our hearts. This God makes himself real clear through Jesus. It says right here, in Jesus is the fullness of God, and he's full of grace and truth. Do you know him? Do you know him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just are in awe of who you are, God. God, that you aren't some supreme being just sitting on high, watching from above, as us little ants are just kind of crawling around. And God, that you're pushing buttons here and there to see what happens. But Lord, that you, God, would love us so much that you would, first of all, show us who you are by coming in the form of Jesus Christ, by sending your Son in Jesus Christ, Lord, here. But then you became one of us, and we see what you're like, and we see that this is a supreme act of love for us, that you lived the life that we should have lived, a perfect life that we should have lived, and then you died the death that we should have died as sinners when you brought yourself to the cross. And all of our brokenness and sin and hurt died with you there. But Lord, we know that 3 days later, you rose again, bringing new life into this world, so that if we believed in you, we would have this new life as well. And God, I pray for each one of us here in this place, God, that we would know this Jesus. That we would know this Jesus as the one who holds everything together, this universe together. And through you, it's through you that this world makes sense to us. God, I pray that we would know you that way. And then as we celebrate Christmas this season, Lord, may you just be on the forefront of our thoughts. That as we celebrate, as we eat turkey, as we eat tons of food and open presents, Lord, that we realize this precious jewel that we have in you, Jesus. May you be glorified here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.